the Point Radio.
Hi, I'm Mike Bob. Well, after a blockbuster premiere, the following is heating up in a big way. We talked to Valerie Curry, James Purifoy, and even Kevin Bacon about what lies ahead. Plus, Wonder Woman has a break, a big break. And look out, here comes Deathlok. Let's get to the point.
This is the point. The Point Radio. Get the point.
Safe to say you can expect some differences in this second season of The Following on Fox. We talked to director Marcus Siega about just how the show will change this year.
No, the show's going to feel the same. It may not be as dark as it was last season, but that's a function of, again, the circumstances that we find our actors in. But the style of the show be exactly the same.
With new characters coming on to join the old ones who survived from last year, we wondered if there was any pressure to top the first season. New addition to the cast, Connie Nielsen.
I just never even think about that. I've got kids to take care of. I've got lines to learn. And when I go on set every day, it's all about the work I'm doing with my colleagues. And I love it. I mean, I love the whole process. And it's like Kevin earlier, he said something about, you know, what is amazing about being on TV is that you get to spend that much time a day actually acting. And I actually looked at him for a second and said, oh my God, that's exactly how I feel. I get so excited about the process every day.
Now, there is a bit of a time jump this year, as Sean Ashmore, who plays Mike, explains.
You know, season two does pick up about a year after the events of the last season. So it's kind of nice. It gives the character's somewhere to grow. It's not the immediacy of the first season where, like, an episode ended and 2 seconds later you would pick up. You know, it gives these characters a little room to breathe, and we actually find out what happens after the consequences of this season. Including for Mike, you know, Ryan and him, you know, murdered and tortured a detainee, basically. So that certainly doesn't go without its consequences. So we sort of find Mike in a place of flux and certainly spiraling downward a little bit, and it's kind of interesting to explore that, and that's what we've done so far in season two.
At the center of it all, even Ryan Hardy is doing better. Actor Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, sober teaching Hardy is doing better. He's trying to move past the death of Claire, you know, trying to open himself up to family. He's involved with this his niece, who is his brother is dead. Was a fireman, and his niece is a New York City cop, and they are starting to kindle a relationship, which is, you know, kind of cool and interesting.
One of the big criticisms of the first season was the way the show made the good guys look almost inept, and I let creator Kevin Williamson tackle that topic.
They do win. I mean, there's a lot of wins. I mean, I think it's just maybe they're not perceived as wins because they don't kick Joe Carroll. They don't sort of get Joey, that we drag that out to the very end. I mean, I feel like, you know, the one criticism of just, you know, the FBI sort of being inept, I guess, is sort of, you know, the one that, you know, guilty to some, you know. And I feel like we've sort of solved that for this coming year, or at least taken it into great consideration, because I feel it's one of those shows where when you're typically watching the good guys, you don't really see what the bad guys are up to in a traditional show. In a procedural, something you see the bad guys very limited, very sneaking around, but you don't really know what they're up to. We completely give you the other half of the story. The audience is privy to 50-50. They're getting the bad guys, their plan, the good guys. So there's really, you can't win in that scenario. If the bad guy is going to stay on the loose, the good guy has to look a little dumb. And we've learned our lesson. And so, you know, one of the things we're doing is we're pushing the show away from the FBI. So it's not going to be so, what are the dumb FBI doing this week? Well, they're not going to be in the show. it's not necessarily an FBI, you know, let's find them.
Also returning from season one, Valerie Curry, who plays Emma, and who spent a lot of time over the past few months building her role.
The way that I think about Emma in the, you know, the background that I worked on as an actor is I think she is a sociopath. Not a psychopath. She's not impulsive. She's not... She has no predilection for violence. She does it because Joe tells her to, but what she does is she lacks empathy. She's callous. I did a lot of really interesting research on the childhood diagnosis for kids that do generally grow into psychopaths and sociopaths, which is callous, unemotional children, and like how they manipulate each other and like what the young girls are like. It's totally fascinating. And I think that Emma... I think that's what Emma was, but she was also under the boot of a psychologically abusive mother, who, you know, I think there were some sort of dark allusions in season one to, you know, when she had the conversation with Parker about all the men coming in and out of her mother's house, you know, there's stuff there in terms of abuse, but she was targeted at the age of 15 by a manipulative genius who programmed her and trained her in his likeness. You know, she's his protege, and he targeted her for that reason. You know, he saw that in her, and so it's both.
Psychopath Joe Carroll is again played by James Purefoy, who admits that sometimes his character even creeps him up.
One of the things I talked about with Kevin Williams right earlier, I said, I don't think his pulse goes up above 40 ever, you know? I think he's just got ice flowing through his veins. And I think, you know, even when he's being nice to somebody, never trust him. I don't think he's got, you know, everything. No serial killer is glamorous. No serial killer is cool or anything like that. They're all repulsive, repellent human beings who are doing it only for themselves.
Still, it is the following, so don't get used to anybody in the cast, because that could change at any moment, as Kevin explained.
Here's the thing, is that even before season one began, this was a guy, and Kevin Williamson one-lined it to me early on, and maybe our first meeting, he said, this is a man whose life has been surrounded by death. And I was like, off to the races in terms of backstory for stuff that you don't even see, you know. And but eventually some of it made it into season last season. He believes that when people get close to him, they die or they get hurt. And so he is constantly there. And Agent Parker is obviously a great example of that. You know, on a personal note, look, I mean, it's the nature of the beast, but it's hard when people that you like and you work with and you're fond of and you like their work die. You know, it happens all the time on our show.
At least for the moment, Kevin Bacon's Ryan Hardy is at the center of the show. And he sums up his character, which perhaps is pretty much the tone for the whole series.
Well, he's not a conventional hero, for sure. And I think that we'll see, you know. I mean, the beginning of the season, he's definitely in a lighter place. And I can't imagine that it's going to stay there for very long.
New episodes of The Following every Monday on Fox. You can always see more at Fox.com. With the latest in pop culture. In addition to Jamie Alexander reprising her role from the Thor films as Sif, there's a little more news about upcoming Marvel characters working their way into the weekly Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show. The character J. August Richards has been portraying seems to be pretty much headed to become Deathlok sometime over the next few weeks. And along that same time, look for a cameo in the show by Stan Lee. The former executive producer of Chuck, Matthew Miller, has sold a new pilot to ABC. It's called Forever, and it tells the story of Dr. Henry Morgan, a New York State medical examiner who is immortal and studies death to find out more about what caused his own condition. ABC also ordered another pilot, this time from Amblin TV. It's called The Visitors, and it's based on a Ray Bradbury short story called Zero Hour. Superman, Batman move out, and Ant-Man moves in. That abandoned date of July 2015, the one given up in the movie theaters by the Superman, Batman film, which was bumped ahead a year just a few days ago, has now been picked up by Marvel's Ant-Man film. That'll be in theaters in July of 2015, going head-to-head that very same week with a live adaptation of Peter Pan that stars Hugh Jackman as Blackbeard. Reality TV has not been faring too well lately on Fox, but they're hoping to break that streak by picking up a new show from the creator of Big Brother, John DeMol. It's called Utopia, and it started out in Holland, where it was the highest-rated non-scripted show there in 6 years and has continued to be in the top 10 during its entire run. There was a lot of frantic bidding with the networks to see who would get Utopia. Fox won out, however. And we'll have a chance to present the series, which involves a group of strangers thrust together, not unlike Big Brother, but this time they're forced to form their own society with rules and regulations and all the bad things that go along with those. Fox will more than likely fast-track this project to get it on the schedule sometime this year. After being well down and out and without a television series last week, Wonder Woman had a pretty good bump this week, Warner Brothers has given the character a 3-picture deal with Israeli actress Gal Gadot, starring as Wonder Woman, as was announced earlier. The 3 pictures will include Gadot in the Superman-Batman film, as well as that long-awaited Justice League team-up movie, and of course, a Wonder Woman solo film, all to be produced sometime over the latter part of the decade. Back in the 50s on radio, it was called Payola, and now it seems like the basically same concept has invaded the video game world. It's been reported that Microsoft secretly paid YouTube personalities in order to have them give positive reviews to the Xbox One. The YouTubers would pick up about $3 for every 1,000 views, and overall there could be as many as 1 million extra views, depending upon how positive the review was. Machinima seems to be part of the scandal, and right now they or Microsoft have neither one made a comment. BBC America is bringing back River Street for a second season. New episodes will start on Saturday, February 22nd at 9 p.m. And if you want to catch up, there are earlier episodes available with BBC America's on-demand service. DC is bringing to an end 6 titles from the New 52 line in April. There's some new ones to replace them, though, but among those going away, Superman Unchained, Nightwing, and of course we knew that Teen Titans, Suicide Squad, and Stormwatch were also coming to an end. But add to that list Justice League of America, which will end with number 14. There are, like I said, some new titles on the way, including a Justice League United book that's scheduled for beginning sometime in April, and a new weekly Batman series called Batman Eternal. All right, let's start our casting rumors. Fantastic Four, the reboot, is about ready to go to that stage. Simon Kinberg's script has been finished. He started that back in October. And according to Variety, the film is set to hit theaters in June of 2015. Meanwhile, Thomas Kretschmann, who you know from Resident Evil, will be Baron Strucker in the second Avengers film. Strucker will be the second bad guy in the film, playing along with James Spader's Ultron. IDW is out and Titan is in as the new publisher of Doctor Who comics beginning this year. IDW had announced back in July that their partnership with the BBC was ending. Titan will pick it up with the new comics this year that'll feature both the 10th, 11th, and, along the way, the 12th Doctor as well. No word yet on an official release schedule or, of course, any creative teams. The Point. That does it for the podcast. We're going to get into the blacklist coming up in a few days and find out why the show came back after its break hotter than ever. In the meantime, plenty of pop culture 24/7 right now on GetThePointRadio.com. Listen free on your laptop or your desktop, or take us along anywhere on any mobile device, Apple or Android, with a free app called iNet Radio. This little podcast thing is cranked out a couple of times every week for great websites like ComicMix.com and MichaelDavisWorld.com, and of course is in the iTunes podcast directory as well. On social media, we're The Point Radio. Follow us if you can, and then be back here in just a few days. Get the-